Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roni@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, and dogs, if you have a computer, this is Jeff Roni, and I have straightened up the Roni Zone again, and it looks pretty nice, and I even dusted, and I've invited the wonderful, the magnificent Maria Castaneda into the Roni Zone. Hi, Maria.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Now, a little bird says that this is your first and best interview.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, you hail from the L.A. area. Is that correct?
That is correct.
L.A. all the way.
Heck yeah.
My grandmother and grandfather had box seats. Not box seats, but anyway, they had seats for the Dodgers. Are you a Dodger fan?
I've only been to the Dodgers once, believe it or not.
Okay. So you're a fan. Good. And so yeah, LA is close to my heart. It is a magical place, and we'll kind of talk about why, but anyway, thanks so much for being on the show.
Not a problem.
I understand that you work in the entertainment industry.
That is correct.
Now, I got to tell you, I'm a bit of a stand-up comic. So when I kind of looked through your list of employments, I saw Blockbuster Video, and then I saw that you worked on, you know, actually on a show, and it was a little joke there.
Right, and then I also worked with a place called Comedy Time, and we actually did deal with comedians as well. That's for cell phones.
Right.
To be downloaded and stuff. And so I did some work there, and now I'm on studio page for different sitcoms.
Correct. Now, what I thought was interesting is I worked as an intern for the Star Jones show before she went on The View. And the show was called Jones and Jury. And if you don't know what the show was, that's fine. It played for a while, and then it played like late at night and all that. But I remember I was pretty good friends with the ladies involved with the audience. And you work for Audience Unlimited for a while.
Actually, I still do. I'm about to start my second season with Audiences Unlimited.
Oh, cool. Okay, so you assist in finding groups to come and be in the audiences for the shows.
That's more what the office does.
Okay, all right.
Actually, what I do is actually on site at the studio lots. So let's say that you and your wife were to come to a show, pick a show that we do, like America's Funniest Home Videos, Gary and Married, New Adventures of Old Christine. Those three are coming back this season. If you were to come to one of those tapings, I would be there to basically greet you and to make sure that you have your ticket, and so I could put you in the appropriate group. And then we'll escort you onto the lot to the soundstage when it's time. And then we'll let you watch the show, enjoy the taping, and make sure that you're having a good time. Our warm-up guys are amazing and always really funny. And then once we're done, it's, you know, escort you back to where the parking is and basically be like, okay, thanks for coming. But each taping is really fun.
Now, that's an interesting job, because you make the show, because if the audience isn't prepped, ready, you know, ready to have a good time, ready to be, kind of be engaged and laugh or focus or whatever, it's not going to be a good show.
Right. Because granted, the audience works off the actors, but the actors also work off the audience. So if the audience has a really good vibe, then that just makes everything else run all the more better.
And I know that it's tough to get a nice audience, because if I remember right, you have to dress well because you're going to be on television. You know, you can't wear sweats and flip flops and all this kind of stuff. So I would imagine that it is tough to kind of find groups. What are the best groups that come through your agency?
The best groups, pretty much all the groups that we get are really good.
Okay.
So we're lucky in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But school groups are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll get schools in from like Cal State Long Beach, UCLA, USC.
Yep, yep.
The surrounding schools, we get some from like Cal Poly Tech, and basically name a college we probably have had them through at some point. The issue with the audience being on camera doesn't really play a part unless you're going to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right. Okay.
Because you're actually in front of the actors on all the other shows. So, and the cameras are in front of the audience, so they're not really on camera. But America's Funniest Home Videos, if anyone's seen the 19 seasons that it's been on, the audience is definitely there. And that's where the dressing up is important for that show. But everything else, it's like business casual and mm-hmm. stuff, but the school groups are really good, and we do have a lot of work groups that come in as mm-hmm. like a get together, and they just want to come see a show. So we'll have groups do that too, and they're usually really fun to work with too. They're just trying to unwind from a long day, and sometimes the office lets them out early so they can go see the show. So we've already got them pumped up from that and stuff. So,
well, I took my lady I was dating at the time. Boy, I hope my wife didn't. Anyway, just a lady in my past I took to go see. It was a tour, I think, of a movie studio. I can't remember which one it was. And we got two tickets to go see The Ellen Show, the sitcom way back in the day. And we got in the audience, and it was a lot of fun. It was just, it is really cool to watch the behind the scenes stuff. Because, I mean, everybody enjoys television, but, you know, it is really cool to see things kind of scene by scene, cut, change the lighting, change the whatever, let's take it again, and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And basically that's what you do. Is another one of your jobs is work behind the scenes and that kind of a thing, right?
It's more of a hobby, but yes.
Okay. All right. I think that's still kind of a dream of a lot of people, is to kind of be involved in the entertainment industry. Now you mentioned a hobby. Now, what kind of shows do you work on?
For that one, that they are considered webisodes,
mm-hmm.
and I've been involved with them since November of 2008 myself. But they've been running if it's what I think you're talking about, they've been running the last 10 years since
okay.
1998.
Now, the Star Trek show, correct?
That's what I assumed you were talking about. Yes, they okay. have been running since 1998.
Now, I do audio dramas, and obviously that's a whole different animal. For me, my uneducated feelings about that is it's hard to get actors together to work for nothing. And I would imagine that to get a crew together is kind of tough as well. How did you meet this group and get involved?
Okay, let's see. How did I meet the group? I had moved to Los Angeles about 2.5 years prior to meeting a group known as the USS Angeles. They are the Starfleet International Los Angeles chapter. That's basically a Star Trek fan club.
Hmm.
And I had joined them, and one of the members had mentioned that some of them were going to be a part of a film shoot the coming weekend. And that was in my background. So I'm like, oh, film shoot? Yeah. Is there any way I can go? And I've been with them ever since, actually. And so I've helped out on some of the series that they've done. I'm primarily involved with their new series that they're about to that they're getting ready to hopefully launch later this year. I'm not sure when it's going to launch or anything, but it's a brand new series from these guys. not Star Trek related at all, but it's still under the same production company, and it's going to be a blast.
Now, is this more of an independent company, or is it? Tell me kind of where this rates as far as, I mean, webisodes. There's a lot of mainline television production studios that do webisodes. So,
right. This is basically just a whole bunch of friends getting together, and we have no formal sets. Okay. All of our sets are done computer generated, and what the actors perform in front of is actually a green screen, which makes things a little bit more flexible because we aren't restricted to certain things, but at the same time, you know, the actors have to look at themselves because it is green screened.
Mm-hmm.
So
is a green screen at someone's home, or do they use it at a college or some other?
It is at someone's home.
Okay.
But that's about as far as I can say as far as that.
That's fine. No. Okay. That's fine. I actually had thought about that idea right there. Obviously, when you see something like Sin City, or there's been other films that are completely CG backgrounds and all that, you know, Star Wars and all that. But I would imagine that really does free up. I mean, except for the post work. I mean, that must be just whole loads of fun. I mean, you get actors out there doing what they need to do, and then you just fill it all in. I couldn't find the link to the show. I'll put it in the show notes, but.
For the show that we're talking about right now, with the Star Trek stuff,
yeah,
that is going to be at www.hiddenfrontier.com.
Okay. Now, I'm a Star Wars fan. Don't hold that against me.
It's okay.
I remember in... Now, don't hit me. I remember watching Trekkers, and I remember there was a guy, but he was in, I think, Pennsylvania, shooting a Star Wars fan show. Has Hidden Frontiers had any type of press at all?
Oh, yes. They've been interviewed by, oh, gosh, I want to say it was like Good Morning America or okay. The Today Show. It's one of the big broadcast morning shows that they've done.
Okay.
And they've had all sorts of media interviews and stuff like that as well. I'm trying to see if I can get to their website really fast to see the media stuff. Because I know that they have, if you go to their website, Variety Magazine has a little blurb about them. Mm-hmm. Trek Web, Trek BBS, those have just a little blurb on them as well. And I believe they also have, in their miscellaneous videos under their episodes, different news things that they've been in as well.
That's fantastic. My props to them because, I mean, it's tough to keep a group together, first of all. Second of all, it's tough to do all the post work and the special effects to make it look even halfway decent. It's just so time consuming. So my hat's off to you and the group. I think just keeping it all together and then doing multiple seasons, and that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So how much time is it? Once a month shooting?
Oh gosh. Our shooting schedule, it does vary based on everyone's schedules, but for the most part, we're shooting on the weekends.
Okay.
And it's usually like 1 or 2 days, and it could be as little as a couple hours, or it could be as long as all day. It depends on what the script calls for, what the schedule calls for, who's available, and all of that. So, and there's sometimes, if you ever see any of the episodes, there's actually times where it's maybe one actor filming, and it makes it look like it's the entire crew on the ship or whatnot.
Yeah.
So.
So, and I think that's fantastic too. That may be a little tough. I remember watching the film, with Angelina Jolie.
Sky Captain in the
Adventure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one's also completely green screened. The only physical props was whatever the actors had in their hands. And that's kind of the same way that it is on Hidden Frontier as well.
Just for me, that just would free up everything, and that's why I really I'm interested in that type of filming, because it's just, you know, the cost except for the green screen and post stuff and the equipment, that's pretty much it. I mean, if you can get people to work for pizza, then that's even better, you know.
Right.
How do they handle cost? I mean, do they do like a credit swap, or do they do any advertising?
I'm actually not quite sure how it all breaks down.
Okay.
Honestly.
All right. Okay. So. No problem. Don't want to ask too much. But definitely, I'd sure like to talk to them and kind of get them on the show and talk a little about them. You know, it's just, it is really incredible. A television show in the 60s had a fairly short run. And then, you know, some of the best movies after, you know, and then all of a sudden come back. Well, what did you think of the new film?
Oh my gosh. I loved it. I honestly, for me, I did not grow up on the original series. I grew up with TNG and later.
Right.
So the Angelus right now is trying to get me to watch the episodes of Kirk and Spock. Mm-hmm. And we'll do viewing parties for that. And they're like, oh, you need to see this. You need to see this. But for me, it was an introduction to the characters that I already knew. Like, I knew who Chekhov and Sulu and Uhura and all of them were. But it also provided an interesting spin that no one had seen before either. And the Angelus, we were lucky enough to go to the Los Angeles premiere at the Grauman Chinese Theater.
Wow.
So we were able to attend that, and we saw the movie that night. And I was just blown away. Like, the opening part, which looked and felt like it almost a teaser on a regular show, that had me in hook, line, and sinker. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then when the Star Trek logo came up, I'm like, oh heck yeah. And I cannot see the movie just once or twice or five times. I've actually seen it more than that.
Now,
I want to go back and see it again while it's still in theaters, but I can't wait until it comes out on DVD.
Sure. Now, are you a Lost fan as well?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I saw maybe one or two episodes of Lost, and I kind of did get lost, and I've never been able to recover.
Okay. All right. I'll be praying for you. So you went to Baylor University.
I did.
And
Texas.
Houston. Go Houston. That's a hot place. That is a hot place.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
San Antonio is hot. Dallas is hot, but Houston's hot. That's the last city I've been to.
No, it wasn't Houston. It was Waco.
Okay. All right.
But Waco was still, really hot with the heat, because it is between Austin and Dallas. So.
Well, I tell you, my heart goes out to anyone who lives in Texas, because, you know, as cold as it gets in Maine and New York and all this, as humid as it gets in Florida,
Texas has record-breaking heat right now. My father lives in Austin, and I believe they're on day 31 of temperatures being over 100 degrees.
Wow.
I talked to him a couple days ago, and it was like day 27 consecutively that they have been over 100 degrees out there. So at this time, I'm like, okay, thank goodness I'm in LA. It's cooler. But oh well.
Well, and you know, Dallas has the black ice and the freeze and the snow. I mean, it's wild. It is.
Right. Austin and Dallas, or Austin, Dallas, Waco, even Houston would have that too, because it would snow rarely, but it did snow in Houston. And then Waco, Austin, Dallas, I lived in all three cities growing up, and it would snow at least probably every other year to every 2 years. And so we always had that kind of threat of the black ice and all that.
That's why I try my best to never complain about the weather. I live in Orange County, so that's it. I don't complain, because I know that weather in other states and areas is serious. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we just have the earthquakes to contend with, and with hurricanes and tornadoes or twisters, however you want to call them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got your degree in telecommunications, digital media and film.
That's what I switched to a couple years later.
Okay. All right.
School changed the name.
I see. And you're definitely following that dream. Do you ever kind of feel like, oh man, this is going nowhere, or are you determined?
I'm still kind of in the process of trying to figure out what it is I want to do.
Okay.
But for now, the studio job, I absolutely love working that aspect. It's a new episode every week. A different show every week. Usually we're picking up a whole bunch of new shows, so those are going to be a lot of fun to work with and see, you know, what are the shows bringing to CBS and Fox and all of that. With Hidden Frontier, it's a good group of people, and so I just love being with them, and the fact that we get to work together, it's really fun.
Well,
so it lets me try out different things and see what happens.
What I like is between what you do with, you know, the audiences and Comedy Time, and then also you still work with them, right?
Comedy Time, no, I do not.
Okay.
I'm not with them anymore. I was back when I first moved out here.
Okay.
But every once in a blue moon, you'll actually see me still at either the Ice House in Pasadena,
mm-hmm.
or the Hollywood Improv, because I know some of the comedians there from working with Comedy Time. And so I'll go catch a comedy show or two and stuff. So,
well, keep hanging on to your dream. It's still there. It's still available. You just got to keep plugging away. Okay. That's what's really incredible about the whole digital thing. You know, like what Hidden Frontier is doing. You could not do that years ago. It was impossible. And, you know, it's,
I mean, it was possible with what the computers were able to do,
mm-hmm.
but if you were to go to the site and go to episodes and see some of the earlier stuff compared to what we're putting out now, it's almost completely different.
Like, mm-hmm.
it's so much better now that the graphics cards have updated, the operating systems have updated, the computer's gotten faster, gotten better. It's just letting us do so much more than we could do back then, because Windows had just switched to 98 from 95 and 3.1, and 3.1 was really, really restrictive to what is possible now.
Yeah.
The hard drives are bigger and everything like that. So I guess as the technology moved up, that let us do more things and stuff. But yeah.
Is anything possible now? Just a green screen and maybe a table and maybe some kind of set pieces. I mean, can you pretty much do anything now?
I think so. I'm not the editor on the show, so mm-hmm. I don't know what restrictions they're running into, if any. But if you have the camera, if you have the determination and somewhat computer know-how, then, yeah, you should be able to do whatever you want. You can do stuff from the past, like, I don't know, somebody wants to do a Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman spinoff, they can do that, or they can do a show for kids or something like that. You know, I don't think you're restricted as much anymore. You and the green screen is just running as far as the imagination will take you.
Well, I just I'm a bit of a comedian, teeny bit, and you know, I have friended a lot of people on Facebook that are, you know, cosplay people. And so I just thought it'd be funny, just idea off the top of my head, to have Wonder Woman complaining about being laid off, you know. and it's just, you know, kind of what we're talking about here is anything is possible. And there's people that dress up, you know, and there's just so many different fun things you can do and put a video up on YouTube. And I just... You know, like I said, props to Hidden Frontiers, because, you know, I know a lot of Star Wars folks that do, you know, maybe a half a fan film that it took 3 years to get done. But you know, this group is very determined, and I'm definitely have to get them on the show. So tell them
I'll see if I can talk to them and get them on and stuff. We actually do have stuff up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's youtube.com/frontierguard, and that's one word. And that's going to be the new show that we're going to be launching. And right now there's actually a preview for it. And if you have time, check it out. It's really, really good. We've gotten lots of good reviews on it. And so that's where we're heading into for Hidden Frontier.
Very nice. Very nice. And I'd imagine that the new film just kind of pushed all kinds of people your way. So that's really cool.
Yeah, in some ways it did. And in some, there are still some people that haven't quite seen it yet. Okay. Like, what the heck's wrong with you?
All right, okay.
It's that good. But yeah, with the buildup of the new truck and everyone's getting excited, it's been, I want to say, 7 years since the last Star Trek movie. So we're getting the buzz of old fans getting excited about it now. And now we've got the newer generation getting excited. We've got kids that come into my store where I work. And they're all like, oh, do you have Star Trek this and Star Trek that? And I'm just like, wow, okay, we've got 7, 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds getting excited about this stuff. That's a whole new fan base for Star Trek and Star Trek fan films and all that. So
now wasn't this the group that had, I think it was George Takei in one of the episodes?
No, that's New Voyages.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a group based out of New York, actually.
Okay. Sorry, just these yeah. little random yeah, facts just kind of come up.
It happens all the time. Okay. But no, Hidden Frontier, we are based out of the Los Angeles area.
All right. Okay. It's the better group. I understand. All right. So you're a bit of a Disney fan, I understand.
Just a wee bit.
Now, were you at the DPN banquet when I did my stand-up?
No, my first DPN activity, DPN standing for Disney Podcast Network.
Correct.
The first time I went was actually the West Fest that happened this past April.
Oh, okay. Well, you missed the greatest banquet there ever was.
That's what I've heard. There was my friend Next Jen had told me about this banquet that a lot of people had gotten crazy, and then they brought in all these different acts and stuff. And had she known me a year earlier, she would have brought me in and all that. And I was like, man, why didn't I know these people before?
It was fun. Yeah,
DPN was fun. And I'm looking forward to Friends of the Magic coming up next weekend.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely going to be a good time. Paul's a great guy. It's
yeah, he was really nice and stuff. And then we started swapping stories about my dad. So my dad's a podcaster too. So
Okay, I did not know that. One more Star Trek question, and we'll come right back. Do they do a podcast, a Hidden Frontier group?
They used to. Right now, as far as I know, it's on hiatus.
Okay.
Don't know if they have plans to come back, but they did have a Ustream event going on Wednesday nights, but that's since been on hiatus.
So. Okay. All right. So your dad's a podcaster. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What show does he do?
He actually has 6 right now.
Wow.
And I believe all of them are active. Okay. He started out with just a little podcast called Arriba, Folklorical Music and Dance of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And has since done podcasts that other mainstreams might know, which is The Struggling Entrepreneur and Gain Control of Your Day. Those are two of his better known shows.
I have heard of Struggling Entrepreneur.
Yeah. If it's Fred Castaneda, that's my dad.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And he has been at the Podcast and New Media Expo the last 3 years.
I saw him interviewed two years ago. Yeah. Okay.
And then he also was in the Podcast Secrets group with Alex Mandojian and Paul Colligan. Mm-hmm. So you probably saw him hanging out with Paul.
Okay.
And if we have any listeners in Austin, Texas, he actually leads up the Austin Podcasting Group. And information for that is austinpodcasters@podmatic.com.
Wow. Very cool.
So he's had 9 podcasts simultaneously, and he's since, I think, cut back to 6.
Wow. Now, do you podcast?
Actually, no.
Okay. All right.
I should, but my time is, I'm always here and there and hardly ever home.
Okay. I understand. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm usually dealing with the Audience is Unlimited, which is at tvtickets.com, Hidden Frontier, being over at Disneyland,
right,
and hanging out with the Angelus. And with the Angelus, we have all sorts of little away missions or holodeck missions, Disneyland being one of them. Mm. It's considered a holodeck mission, so we all get to go out to Disney for the day and hang out, go on the rides, and just have one big get-together because a lot of us are Disney fans as well.
Okay. So Disney is kind of like just kind of getting away, from it all. Chilling out.
Actually, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's been like that since I was a kid. I was about 4 months when I first went to Disneyland here in California, and I've just grown up with Disney. So,
what was one of your greatest memories of Disneyland when you were growing up?
Going to see the Electrical Parade.
Okay. All right.
When it was at Disneyland.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you miss that's a ride that's no longer there?
The People Mover.
Okay.
People Mover and the Skyway.
Mm.
I miss those two.
How many times did you ride the Rocket Rods?
I never went on the Rocket Rods.
Oh.
The line was always too long. It was about a 3-hour wait.
Yeah.
And at the time, they did not have Fast Pass on that ride. I don't know if they ever did. And we had pretty much one day and about 12 people with us. Trying to get on that ride was a little difficult since we were somewhere between, I would say, 6 years old and adult. And so we just never went on that. I would see it run and I would see all the people jerk around as it tried to make those turns.
Hmm.
But
do you have any celebrity meeting stories?
I mean, growing up, I was a Star Trek fan since about 13 or 14 years old. So I've had the conventions, and so I was able to say hi, hello, you know, oh, I like your work, to the actors and stuff. James Doohan, bless his soul, he was really, really nice. I'm glad I got to meet him before he had passed away.
Yeah.
Roddenberry, who is Majel and Gene's son,
right,
I got to meet at the Spirit of Star Trek, which is an event held in Encino, California, and we got to talk a little bit, and he's a really, really nice guy. Rene Bourgeois, who plays Odo from Deep Space Nine, he had a lot of stories to tell about his days there, and then he was also on Benson and all these other shows. You can catch him on Boston Legal now. And so he would talk about working with Trek and working on different shows. And then he was also in The Little Mermaid. So he would talk about being the crazy French chef who sang Le Poisson. Audiences themselves. But I've been to two rap parties and I was able to meet Brad Garrett, Joel Fisher. Kevin Sorbo was on Gary and Married on their season finale. So I got to meet him. That was really cool because I've seen him in Hercules and Andromeda, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But everyone's been really nice, so I was really lucky to meet them.
Well, my nephew is just shooting star. He's on iCarly, he's Gibby, and you know, I get these texts, Twitters from him, and you know, he goes, yeah, I met the new Spock at a party last night. I'm like, man.
Yeah, met Zach Quinto at the premiere. We were in the bleacher, so we didn't really get to talk to them or anything, but he walked right past where we were like, oh, Zach.
Yeah. Well, I'm a trainer, and I was in San Francisco across the street from the Metreon when Lucas had one of the pre-release for charity events for Episode 3, and he was there. And I seriously thought a number of times of just quitting, just going over there. But, you know, I just kept taking a break. You know, I need to take a break. Okay, run down the stairs,
right,
run over
that,
there.
That is, yes. I mean, so long as you return to work a little bit, yeah, it was okay that day.
Yeah.
When we were at the premiere for Star Trek, J.J. Abrams actually was in the theater we were in to give us the welcome to the Star Trek movie speech.
Wow.
So he welcomed us personally and hoped that, you know, we would enjoy what he presented to us. And and it was really cool. I was like, oh my, it took us a while to recognize that it was J.J. because we were just so starstruck. Like, oh my gosh, we're in the theater. We're going to go see the movie. Oh my gosh, there's J.J.
Well, I appreciate your time, Maria. And I have so many questions more to ask you. And but I'm gonna, I get my mom's calling. unfortunately, I have to go. But definitely, let's do this again. I thank you so much for braving it and coming on the show.
Not a problem, Jeff.
Okay, and definitely I want all the links that you were giving me, we'll set up some time with Hidden Frontier, and we'll go from there.
Okay, I'll see what I can do on that side.
Thanks so much.
Yep, no problem. All right.
Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni's Own Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roniszone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniszone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.roniszone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Do you drool over cutting-edge technology? Are you the first in line for the latest sci-fi movie? Do you stay up late at night playing video games? Do you consider being called a geek a badge of honor? Then Geek Cred is the show for you. Join me, Steve Rickyberg, as I bring you in-depth behind-the-scenes interviews to give you the inside scoop on everything geek. From tech to sci-fi to games, you name it, we geek it. Geek Cred, are you geek enough? To download and subscribe, visit www.geekcred.net and get your geek on.
What are parsnips?
Is this avocado ripe?
How do I get the seeds out of a pomegranate?
Customer service in the produce department, please. Ray, can we see you in the produce department for customer service?
Hi, my name is Ray, a.k.a. The Produce Picker, and I give the answers to these questions plus many more on my show, The Produce Picker Podcast. Watch my video tutorials on how to identify, select, and prepare fresh fruits and vegetables. You'll also find segments such as Food Newscasts, a new show dedicated to everything making headlines in the world of fruits and veggies, interviews with people who work in produce, product demonstrations and reviews, Produce Bob's seasonal picks, and video tours of anywhere fruits and vegetables live, plus much more. Visit www.producepicker.com and click on the Produce Picker Podcast to view the show. And remember, pick right, pick ripe, every time with the Produce Picker at producepicker.com.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.roniszone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.